What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Of course, I want to thank all listeners that make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Again, you can find my work on Twitter at Weiss Sports, where my work appears on Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, the Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. The Locked On Blue Jays podcast is free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So make sure to like, rate, review, and subscribe.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, we have made it. The last day of 2021, December 31st, it's a Friday, and that means it's the last episode of 2021 for the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to do some New Year's resolutions as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays. But first, let me welcome in MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the podcast. Happy New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year's Eve to you as well. Can you believe that we made it as a society to the end of 2021?
It's pretty wild to think that the Bernie Sanders meme of him in the jacket with the gloves took place in 2021 in January. So like that's how long the year has been, Jen. That's how long it's been. It feels like an eternity ago since you and I did that emergency podcast, game 162. But that's just been what 2021's all about. But I'm certainly feeling optimistic about the new year, especially as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. But we're going to do something fun today, like I said off the top. New Year's resolutions as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays. And boy, Jen, I feel like there's some good ones here. Let's start with you. What's your first New Year's resolution that you'd like to get off your chest?
All right. I have some, I think, interesting ones, some front office related, some player related. I am going to start actually with on a sort of a serious note with regards to the front office. I think that the front office and ownership should resolve to continue being advocates for better minor league working conditions. And so we all know that the Blue Jays gave their minor league players a 50% raise. They did that just ahead of the 2019 season. And they were the only team at the time who were known to be paying more than the minimum. And since then, Major League Baseball has stepped in. They've raised the minimum rate for minor league players. They've mandated that teams provide housing to some minor league players. But there's still work to be done. And so I would really love for the Blue Jays to resolve to be on that leading edge so that we can continue to see the likes of, you know, these prospects, you know, Gabriel Moreno being able to come up through the ranks and so forth and be able to do so in an environment that is, you know, conducive to healthy living.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And that's a great place to start. I mean, you know, I think one of the aspects of the pandemic as it pertains to sports has been minor league sports and how particularly minor league baseball. And people don't realize this, Jen, but like minor league baseball is so impactful in so many communities across America. And I think these players are human beings trying to make a living. They're trying to progress in their careers. They're trying to live their dream, right? And it's hard. I mean, you know, people think sometimes when they watch sports, you know, they see the high-end players and they think, oh, I mean, that's what sports are all about, right? But no, I mean, a large part of are guys that are just trying to keep their dream alive ever so slightly in the minor leagues. And to me, they deserve adequate conditions. They deserve better pay, better conditions, better facilities. I mean, what the Blue Jays have done in Dunedin has been incredible in terms of their training facility. And yes, I think that for future generations, so many players that walk through that organization are going to benefit one way or the other. Whether or not they make the big leagues or realize their dreams, who knows? But at least they leave there and it has an impact on them because it's a great culture. It's a great place to be. So I completely agree with you, Jen. I think the more, you know, again, you know, sometimes when, you know, things, you know, show signs of normality, we forget those that are heavily affected by the pandemic and whatnot. So it's very important, you're right, that minor league baseball still gets talked about and that the Blue Jays are at the forefront of that. And I believe they will, Jen, just based on how much they talk about organizational culture. And I know that sometimes that falls on deaf ears, but I think it's still very important and definitely very valid.
I agree. I think that it is a part of a team's culture to, you know, cultivate from sort of from the ground up and show their players that they are valuable, not just when, you know, when they make it to the show, but they're valuable all the way along. They're deserving of a living wage all the way along. And so that is something that I would expect the Blue Jays to continue to be leaders on. And, you know, hopefully other teams will get on board and, you know, just kind of lead that without it having to actually be mandated. So that's my first New Year's resolution.
So my first New Year's resolution, you know, also a little bit of a serious one too. And it's more about the Blue Jays on the field. Now, I know that the Blue Jays, you know, are this high-octane offense, and they love to hit a lot of home runs. And it's very exciting when things are firing in all cylinders. But, Jen, there were games last year, and we talked about this, when they couldn't cash in with runners in scoring position. So my New Year's resolution is, you know, really focusing on, okay, ensuring that you maximize those opportunities with runners in scoring position. Now, I get that, you know, baseball's becoming, you know, again, you know, very focused on the offense, focused on the launch angle, the home run ball, that's very valid. And look, it is exciting when, you know, you have a player last year in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. leading the majors in home runs. But I would argue that there were games just where when that wasn't clicking, that the Blue Jays sort of looked ordinary. And I think for me, that's going to be a big, big thing to focus on, I think, as the season goes along, because this is, again, going to be an offense where the expectations, the spotlight are going to be turned up a little bit higher. The expectations are this is a team that's going to be contending for a playoff spot, maybe the World Series. So when things go wrong, what do you do? How do you adjust? And that's where I'm going to be very interested in seeing. Hopefully they correct that, because I think, again, I mean, I remember in September, a lot of winnable games where if they just cashed in those runs, you know, hitting the other way or doing other things, I think they would have, you know, had a chance to get into the playoffs. So runners in scoring position, cashing in those runs is my New Year's resolution.
Well, too often, too many players look like they are swinging out of their shoes rather than simply trying to put the bat on the ball, right? And oftentimes, particularly when there are runners in scoring position, you don't necessarily need to hit that two-run or three-run home run. You just need to cash in the runner on base and keep the line moving, right? You know, and to home runs are exciting. And, you know, obviously, home runs, you know, fuel offense, but you got to get guys on base and you got to get guys home. And that's the name of the game. And so one of my resolutions that I'll actually just share right now, because it kind of goes along with that, was I was taking a look at Vladdy's statistics. And of course, you know, he rates excellent in most of the categories on Baseball Savant, but the one where he was really lacking last season was his whiff rate. He had a whiff rate of 44.4% which put him in the 28th percentile in the league. That is a poor ranking. And so I took a look at it, and what he did in 2021, essentially he swung at more off-speed and breaking pitches. That's where he was whiffing the most in comparison to previous years. So I, to tag along with you, I would suggest, you know, I looked at the statistics as pertaining to Vlad, but it probably goes for several players on this team, is that they maybe need to lay off some pitches a little bit more. Stop swinging out of your shoes, see a few more pitches, make sure you get the pitch that you want if you are going to swing. Otherwise, let them walk you.
Yeah. I mean, getting on base, you know, I was watching Moneyball the other day, great baseball movie.
Me too.
such a great movie. Timeless baseball movie. And, you know, getting on base, you know, just is so, so important in terms of leading to, you know, more better opportunities to score. And I just think it become, you know, again, we saw this in 2015 in the ALCS against Kansas City, where, you know, it was such a mismatch in terms of the star talent, you know, really on the Blue Jays compared to Kansas City. But I'm not saying to go full small ball like Kansas City, but I just think some balance. Like, I just think not overly relying on the home run and just figuring out things when they don't go your way, I think can really help you become a better team and become just more dangerous hitters, I think, as well. And I think that's what makes baseball really exciting, is when you can have that sort of balance and versatility to your approach on offense.
I agree. Like I said, home runs are really exciting. I personally, as a fan, I enjoy it more when there's hit after hit after hit, right?
Right.
Double followed by a single, but followed by another single. And then maybe there's an out in there somewhere, but the guy takes up from third and still scores a run. And, you know, like I said, you keep the line moving. I find that to be really exciting baseball, perhaps more exciting than the home run, you know, unless of course the home run is a walk-off win or something like that. So yes, I agree. And I, you know, as I said, I only looked at Vlad's statistics, but you know, last year told the tale. There were too many runners left in scoring position at pivotal moments in pivotal games. And there were too many slumps, sort of, you know, entire team slumps that took place. And so I agree with you. I think that the Jays as a whole need to resolve on just putting the bat on the ball and not always swinging for the fences.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get back to more New Year's resolutions as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays coming right up. But first, let's check in with our friends at Built Bar. It's the New Year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By like week three, you might be thinking, oh, this is just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Well, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. So if you're looking to get said Built Bar, maybe you want to try some of the other flavors like raspberry or cookies and cream, salted caramel or milk brownie. Go to built.com and use the promo code and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank all listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Jen, another New Year's resolution as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, there has been a lot of conversation recently regarding the team's decision to refurbish the dome as opposed to building a new stadium. And I know that those plans are supposed to be finalized in the next month or so, and then they're going to unveil them. So I would like for the front office and ownership to resolve to include the team's history in their renovation plans. I would like to see, as well as so many other fans, I would like to see statues. I would like to see memorabilia, maybe some sort of, you know, Walk of Blue Jays fame with little plaques, you know, indicating special achievements of different players from the team's history, you know, things of that nature. I think there's a lot of things that can be done to improve the overall fan experience. But one thing that is lacking that could have sort of been included all along is the team's history. And that's something that you see at so many other ballparks. And it really does add to the interest of being there. Honor your past, right? This team has had some incredible players and some incredible years that should be reflected in the new design of the Rogers Center. So that is my one of my resolutions.
I 100% agree. And I think it's actually disappointing, to be honest with you, because this is Canada's team, right? I mean, you know, the Montreal Expos are no longer in Major League Baseball, but this is Canada's team. And, you know, whether it is a statue, whether it is, like you say, a Walk of Fame, or, you know, you have the World Series trophies displayed or other really cool memorabilia, like, you know, I got to be honest with you. I mean, you know, going to the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, that feels a lot more historical in terms of all that than even, you know, what you see at the Rogers Center. And you're absolutely right. And this is a past that the Blue Jays fans should not only be proud of, but like relish in, because we've had a successful past. I mean, we're not
right.
The San Diego Padres who haven't won a World Series. I mean, I love San Diego as a city, but like, please. I mean, Toronto, we've won 2 World Series. And that was a really memorable time for this city and this country. So, and I think it brings an education to the younger fans, right? Because let's be honest, I mean, you could even do the 2015 or 2016 teams and honor them, right, given what they did to this city. So that would really attract younger fans as well. I mean, the Leafs, of course, and the Raptors, I mean, they have, you know, outside Scotiabank Arena, they have Legends Row. And, you know, there's obviously talk about the Raptors doing a lot of different things, given that they won a championship. But that's what winning does, Jen. I mean, when you win, you know, you got to, you know, celebrate that. You can't let people forget about that. So I definitely agree that it's time to add a little history to Rogers Center when it does the renovations.
A montage of photographs, right? You know, everything from, you know, George Bell on his knees in October of 1985 after making the final catch to clinch the Jays their first AL East division title, right? Tony Fernandez, you know, going over to high five him, like everything from that to the bat flip, the Josh Donaldson dash to Roy Halladay's, you know, et cetera. Like, just there's so much that can be included there. And I really think that that's missing. I've always felt that piece was missing. And so I have no idea what they have planned, you know, for their renovations. And they talk about improving the fan experience, but I do think offering that little bit of nostalgia, that little bit of history, is one part of improving that fan experience.
So I have, of course, a New Year's resolution, and it's actually similar, Jen, to some of the Blue Jays fans that replied to your Twitter question about New Year's resolutions when you think about the Blue Jays player, the front office, or ownership. And there's a name that comes to mind and pops up a lot, and that's Jose Ramirez. you like a little bit of the accent there, I feel like, because, you know,
you know what? I feel like I've somehow elicited that from you with subliminal messaging every time.
So yeah, like, I would love to see this front office pull the trigger and bring him to the Jays. I mean, like, you know, you read Blue Jays Twitter, and you see that name populate. And now that Kyle Seager has retired, like, he's the best guy available, Jose Ramirez, right? And I think, like, if he were to come in with this lineup, you know, you could put in where Marcus Semien was, second, right behind George Springer, right ahead of, you know, Vlad and Bo and Teo. You know, it would just add so much excitement. And I think another thing too, Jen, and again, it doesn't get talked a lot enough, but I think having someone like him will make up, at least partially or even equally, the professionalism that Marcus Semien brought. He was a pro's pro, as we like to say. Showed up to the ballpark. He worked his tail off. He was not, you know, the flashy guy in terms of personality. He was just a pro's pro. And I think Jose Ramirez would bring that professionalism, would bring that veteran experience to that infield. Because, you know, as much as we want to see, you know, Bo and Vlad continue to improve, and that, you know, hopefully that happens. I mean, they're still very young, right? And we saw the impact of Bo Bichette with Marcus Semien, you know, Bo being so emotional after game 162 in terms of how much Marcus had meant to him in the 2021 season. So not only are you getting, you know, a really great baseball player in Jose Ramirez, and again, you know, people have said, you know, one of the best players in baseball, you're getting a real pro. And I hope that the front office pulls the trigger.
Well, two listeners who replied to my tweet for Blue Jays related New Year's resolutions said to trade for Jose Ramirez. And I've been on that train. You've been on that train. I was part of a Twitter thread yesterday as to who would play third base for the Blue Jays. And of course, me and others chimed in with Jose Ramirez, and that got a whole bunch of conversation going. But I really do believe, you know, like I said, if this team is all in from here for the foreseeable future, then you have to make a trade for a guy like him, because you're solving three issues. Number one, you're getting a bat, right? Yeah. So you're making up for the loss of Marcus Semien, at least partly in that way. And he's a switch hitting bat, which goes to their constant, you know, proclamation that they need to diversify the lineups. There's number one. Number two, you're getting the defense. And we all know that defense matters, and that defense has been a weak point for this team at various times. It is a concern. And then three, to your point, that leadership piece, you know, there will be a bit of a vacuum, a bit of a void with Semien leaving the team, but you can fill that void with a guy like Ramirez. So, you know, whatever, to me at this point, obviously, once the CBA negotiations have resolved, make the trade. Get ahead of the curve, right?
It's time.
Find out what it takes. I feel that it's time. And you know, you're either in or you're not. That's how I feel about it. They're either in or they're not. And if you're in, then you got to go after the best that are available. He's available. You had a trade lined up last season. Do it.
And yeah, like, I know Alejandro Kirk is a fan favorite, but at the end of the day, what's your famous line, Jen, about banners? What's that famous line about?
Fly forever.
Yes.
And yeah, I think Alejandro Kirk is fantastic. I love watching him play. He brings me joy. And I don't know that I can say that about a lot of ball players, right? Like, they actually use the word joy in watching a guy play. But is Alejandro Kirk the difference maker in terms of this team making the postseason or winning a championship? He is not. So if he's got to go in order to bring back a guy like Ramirez, you do it all day long.
Absolutely. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back to round out our New Year's resolutions coming right up. But first, let me check in with our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the college bowl season and the pro football playoffs. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank all listeners. Make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Jen, let's have another New Year's resolution.
All right. I have several player ones. Do we want to go Kevin Biggio or Lourdes Gurriel Jr.? I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to fit them both in because the Lourdes Gurriel Jr. one is actually pretty short. So I'm going to fit them both in. So first of all, Kevin Biggio, I mean, at the moment, he is the starting second baseman. So going with that premise, Kevin Biggio should resolve to improve his outs above average. If you look at his Baseball Savant statistics, he ranked in the 6th percentile for outs above average. Six. His walk rate dropped in 2021 to 12.6%. That was down from 15.5% the year before and 16.5% in 2019, both of which were rated as being excellent. And we all know that with Kevin Biggio, he's most successful when he doesn't swing the bat. The guy is meant to get on base. So I would like for him to resolve to get back to his walking ways. And then with Lourdes Gurriel Jr., bless him, he should resolve to figure out how to take a more direct route to fly balls. That's it. That's all.
Yeah. Two good ones there. I mean, you know, Lourdes, like, that is, if you were to like to look at like the run chart, you know, it would not be smooth, you know, to see, you know, like lines moving around and whatnot in terms of seeing how he runs. But, you know, it's funny though, because of that, like, he still makes some like crazy plays. Like, I feel like there isn't a season that goes by where Lourdes does not end up on a highlight show at the end of the night because of the play that he makes. Because it may not always look the prettiest, but he gets it done, Jen.
Well, he has a cannon for an arm. So imagine if you couple that with better routes to the ball. That's all I'm saying, right? And I know it's a work in progress. He might never look like a total natural out there. And I'm sure it's something that he's working on. If he could improve that just a smidge, coupled with his arm, I think, you know, we'd see some even more, you know, spectacular highlights out of him.
Yeah, no doubt. The one resolution for me is sort of, you know, close it out. I mean, the ultimate resolution in 2022, and I feel fans feel like this as well, is getting the CBA done. I mean, there right now, like, if you want to talk about getting a resolution done, I mean, that would certainly alleviate a lot of what fans are certainly worried about in terms of missing any games. And yeah, like, I think certainly, you know, we've talked about this on shows where we've talked about the CBA, is that really, you know, the fans aren't really brought in, you know, like, they're not really factored in, if you will. I mean, you know, really it's, you know, what the owners want and what the players want, right? The fans are sort of like the externality, if you will, of what gets done. But I think, you know, I hope that it does get done. I hope it gets done so that, you know, we avoid missing those games and that labor peace could happen again. I mean, labor peace existed for so long. Maybe that wasn't the best course of action. You know, if you listen to our episode with Evan Drellick of The Athletic, I mean, you know, the players got a little bit shafted the last couple CBAs. So you hope that maybe things get a little bit better for them, for sure, because I think it's always good to see players secure the bag. And again, kind of leading back to our Ramirez discussion, the CBA gets done quicker, Jen. That means the offseason can start again. And boy, was that so exciting in November to see all those moves get done.
Well, friend of the podcast, Philip Parkinson, that was part of his response, right? That the MLB and MLBPA get the CBA done and avoid missing games. And let's be honest, that is in everybody's best interest, because ownership doesn't lose money, the players don't lose money, and the fans don't lose out on games being played, right? So it works for everybody to get that done and get spring training started on time.
No doubt. And I think it will. I'm going to end, I'm going to be optimistic and say that I think it will. I think it will get done, and that games will definitely happen. Were there others, Jen, of fans who replied to yours, who had any interesting resolutions?
So Kent McDonald said that the Blue Jays needed to decide where Biggio would play, and Kent suggested second base. He also believes that an outfielder needs to be traded, and he, of course, suggested Grichuk. And then he was one of the ones who also said that he wanted them to trade for Jose Ramirez. Philip added that a resolution for fans would be to just not stress over every little thing, because it is a 162 game marathon. So try to take it in stride, the ups and the downs.
Good luck with that.
Well, yes. I would say that fan, the root word, fanatic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people riding those waves of emotions, I think, is how a lot of people just enjoy their fandom.
And then the one final one, Stephen McCaig, he talked about a couple bullpen arms. I mean, that always certainly, you know, helps. I mean, the Blue Jays bullpen's doing pretty well right now. But I mean, you know, you can't have enough depth in that part of the lineup. So bullpen certainly helpful. But turning back the clock on prices on food for all fans attending live, good luck with that also, Jen. I mean, there haven't been full capacity crowds in a very long time. I think the prices are going to stay a little bit high, but which is unfortunate.
If they can't roll back the prices on food, I would perhaps like to see more variety in the food that you can get.
That's fair.
That I think might, right? And maybe have sort of more locations where you can get that variety. Like right now, there is a section on the lower level towards the right field side where you can get a little bit more interesting, you know, food and beverage options, but that's not sort of readily available throughout the stadium. So that I think is something, if they're doing their renovations and improving the fan experience, I think that some local fare, some more interesting food options would be a good way to go.
We are about out of time, not just on this episode, but probably the year itself, 2021, which, you know, for a lot of people, probably a good thing. But Jen, any parting thoughts before we put a bow on the Locked On Blue Jays for 2021?
This has been a really interesting year in a lot of ways. And, you know, definitely ups and downs, both in terms of the pandemic itself, the Blue Jays in particular. It's been a really, really interesting roller coaster ride. And to be honest, at this point, I'm just really looking forward to seeing what 2022 brings.
I am as well. And I always try to be optimistic. And I think one of the things that brought me a lot of optimism in 2021 was hosting this podcast, you know, sharing the, sharing the screen or the mic with you, Jen, every day for the last few months. You know, we've done a lot of that great episodes together. I thought when we did that emergency podcast, we're going to get into the playoffs, but the baseball gods had other plans, but it's been a lot of fun, to do this in 2021. But I think one of the things I want to end off with is just thanking the fans. Cause I think, you know, we're nothing without the Blue Jays fans, because they're one of the most passionate in all baseball. When I read different Twitter threads and people, when I see the Blue Jays trending, you know, a lot of it is because the fan base is so passionate. And I think that's what makes our job so fun, is just to feed that passion. So I just want to say a huge thank you to all the fans, all the listeners who not only listen to us every day, make the first listen every day, but who have interacted with us, engaged with us, asked us different questions. It's much appreciated. And I wish you all a happy and healthy new year and all the best heading into 2022. So for the final time, Jen, where can people find you on Twitter?
People can find me at baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
MLB analyst Jen Smith. Now, of course, if you're thinking about me, your second listen of the day, Locked On Bets is the one for you. It's your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is free and available on all platforms. So for the final time in 2021, for this episode of Locked On Blue Jays, I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Happy New Year.